are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, September the 26th. And talking today to Donnie Tindall, the new coach of the Grand Rapids Drive. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Appreciate you guys sending the love to the Locked On Pistons podcast and spreading the word throughout the offseason. We are just just a few days away from media day and training camp opening for the Detroit Pistons. Today we are going to talk a little bit about Grand Rapids, which is the number one minor league sports town in America. We're going to talk about that and also talk to one of the new important figures of the Grand Rapids minor league sports scene, and that is Donnie Tindall, the head coach of the Grand Rapids Drive. We're also going to hit the Google voicemail line and ask and answer some of the questions about what we should ask some of the Detroit Pistons at Media Day on Monday. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But it must be basketball time, because maybe you're tired of hearing about it and talking about it. I know I am, but I just want to kind of close this book and close this lid here. The ESPN 100 continues. They're ranking the top 100 players in the NBA heading into the 2019-20 season. A nice gimmick, but one, the kind of thing that I'm tired of talking about here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm ready for basketball season to begin, but like I said, we want to close this book here. Blake Griffin was number 23 on this list. I have no opinion about this. I'm out of opinions on the top 100 list. He is below Pascal Siakam, Donovan Mitchell, CJ McCollum, and Russell Westbrook. Those were some of the names on that list that I would say that I disagreed with as far as him being below them. But then again, you know, you got some names that he probably shouldn't have been above. I don't know. I mean, it's just, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Blake Griffin at number 23, and using my kind of metric as far as, you know, every team in the NBA in theory should have one player in the top 30, then he's there at one player. Is he one of the 15 best players in the NBA coming into next season? Maybe. Is he one of the top 25? Certainly. You know, it's somewhere in between there, and ESPN went with 23 for Blake Griffin, which is his jersey number, so hey, let's just take it as an omen and move on with our lives. But what I want to talk about as far as news today, the Sports Business Journal, which is a publication that I was up for a job for once. They were down in Charlotte at that time, not sure where that business is located right now, but every 2 years, they come out with a list where they make the best minor league sports town in America. Toledo won this before a few years back, and on this year's list, they are number 4, by the way, Toledo, Ohio, just outside of the Detroit market. So every 2 years, they come up with this list. They got a really complicated algorithm. They share their mechanism for coming up with it, not like the specific formula or some of the numbers that went into it, but basically the considerations that they make. It helps Grand Rapids that they have three teams in three different major minor league sports categories. The renovations to the stadium at Fifth Third Ballpark in Comstock Park, where the West Michigan Whitecaps play, I think that that had helped them out from the 2014 fire that they had. So, I mean, obviously the renovations were more out of a necessity in terms of fixing something that had gotten destroyed. But like I said, I think that the project kind of helped them, and maybe that skewed these results a little bit. The attendance numbers for the teams is obviously a big part of it too. And of course, Grand Rapids having the West Michigan Whitecaps, the low A affiliate of the Detroit Tigers baseball club, and then the Grand Rapids Griffins of the AHL, the American Hockey League, which is basically the triple A of the NHL. They're affiliated with the Detroit Red Wings. And then, of course, the Grand Rapids Drive and the Deltaplex, who are the G League team for the Detroit Pistons for at least the next 2 years, probably just the next 2 years, and that's something that's addressed in the write-up of the story. Grand Rapids, Michigan, number one, the number one sports town in America, followed by number 2, Greenville, South Carolina, and number 3, Charleston, South Carolina. So South Carolina, they got some good minor league sports towns there. No major league teams in any sports in South Carolina. So maybe that's why a decently populated state really supports their minor league teams there. But Grand Rapids, great city. I'm sure we got some listeners from there. Van Andel Arena downtown was built in 1996 just for the Grand Rapids Griffins. They got some concerts there too. Really impressive concert slate that they have. I went to see Bob Seger there a couple years back. Deltaplex, it looks like the Drive are getting some traction from the business community around there. The attendance continues to go up a little bit, about 3,000 a game, according to the story in the Sports Business Journal. One of my big regrets is that I have never been to a Grand Rapids Drive game. I will rectify that this year, come hell or high water. But I did go to a Windy City Bulls game, and I'll tell you this, there was not 3,000 fans there. I wonder how those numbers are coming in. You wonder about whether it's turnstiles or tickets sold, or sometimes these types of teams will inflate their numbers by giving away tickets, things like that. But another thing that kind of struck me from the write-up in sportsbusinessjournal.com, something that I didn't know, is that the Grand Rapids Drive owner, Steve Jabara, who I've never met, by the way, he is just 31 years old, or right around there. I did the math that he was, I think, about 24 when they started building the arena, or maybe he started putting together the plans to purchase the Grand Rapids Drive and bring that club to there. He's younger than me, so that makes me feel a little bit bad here. But really interested to see what happens with the Grand Rapids Drive and that ownership group. We know that Ben Wallace is involved with the ownership of the Grand Rapids Drive, as Donnie Tindall notes in our interview that we'll share today and tomorrow with the show. But yeah, the Pistons starting up a G League team, or possibly moving the Drive from Grand Rapids to Detroit. I know that's not quite resolved how this whole thing is going to go, but in conjunction with Wayne State University building their new basketball and athletic facility, the G League team for the Detroit Pistons is going to be housed there after the next two seasons, but the contract with the Grand Rapids Drive continues through these next two seasons. So it's kind of a lame duck franchise as we sit here right now. Again, some things could change. You never really know what's going to happen. But I guess the first thing that comes to mind is can the Grand Rapids Drive figure out a way to become a G League team that's either not affiliated with any teams? That seems unlikely because the talent obviously comes from being the affiliated team, and the G League just kind of a standalone operation of a team. That seems a little bit unlikely. But can they attract an affiliation from a different team? Like I said, I've been to a Windy City Bulls game. That is in Hoffman Estates, which is outside of Chicago, not inside the city of Chicago. The way I equate Hoffman Estates is kind of like it's a Novi of Detroit. It's a good half hour away and out of the mix a little bit. So Hoffman Estates is where they're at. They do not draw well, but obviously it's convenient for the Chicago Bulls to have that team as close as possible if they need to ship guys back and forth from the team at the United Center to the team at Hoffman Estates at the Sears Center, I believe is the name of the arena that they have there in Hoffman Estates. So that's kind of the game that the teams are playing throughout the NBA. They want to have their teams as close as possible. But obviously a city like Grand Rapids, a city that, you know, the Des Moines of the world, those are mid-sized cities that could possibly draw well and make some money with these G League teams. Although that drive across the state that, you know, the Bruce Browns and Kyrie Thomases of the world had to make last year a bunch of times as they got shipped back and forth between Detroit and Grand Rapids. It's a little bit of a hassle. I mean, there's no easy way to drive. Just because you're a pro athlete, it's still a two-hour drive to an half-hour drive. I'm sure a lot of times it was team personnel that were doing that drive for them and them in the back seat. But still, there's really no easy way to make that happen. Another option that you have is the Indiana Pacers. They're in Fort Wayne, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, a reasonable distance away from Indianapolis to Grand Rapids. But, yeah, I mean, you get to a situation where you might need flights in between the two cities. Obviously, Fort Wayne to Indianapolis for the Pacers there. That's just 1 hour. That seems like a nice little compromise there. So, yeah, the future of the Grand Rapids Drive, the future of minor league basketball in Grand Rapids is something we'll continue to monitor as the situation unfolds here in these next couple of years. But, hey, I want to tell you about a quick sponsor called Breaking Tee. Check it out, breakingtee.com/lockedon. That's a t-shirt company. Just give that a look. We're going to be talking about them in these next several weeks as the season gets going. But also, long day at work, still stuck at the office, treat yourself to the meal that you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Up next, I'm going to talk to Donnie Tindall for part one of our two-part interview with the new Grand Rapids Drive coach. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by the new head coach of the Grand Rapids Drive, and that's Donnie Tindall. Donnie, thanks for taking the time to join us tonight.
You got it, Matt. Glad to be on your show.
Yeah, and Donnie, I didn't realize until you joined the Drive as an assistant last year that you were actually from the West Michigan area and spent some time growing up around there. You were from Ravenna, is that right?
Well, I went to grade school in Ravenna, and then I moved to Grand Rapids, went to high school at Grand Rapids Northview, and so my parents still live right here in Grand Rapids. My sister does as well, so obviously it's been nice to be home, and a lot of people are excited to come out and watch us play, and hopefully support a team that we think will be pretty good.
Yeah, and from there, you went and played some college ball after playing at Northview, correct?
I did. I went out and played at Morehead State. It's in the Ohio Valley Conference, where I went back and coached for 6 years, and certainly wasn't a great college player. I thought was a pretty good high school player, but in college, I was more of a facilitator, I like to call it. Played with some great players. Actually, I was a point guard on a team with Brett Roberts, who led the country in scoring and was a second-round draft pick by the Sacramento Kings. And so I had some great memories. We played Kentucky and Louisville pretty tough my junior year. And anyways, that's a long time ago, but great times, great memories. And then obviously it was a thrill to go back to my alma mater and do what we did with me as the head coach.
Yeah, and I'm going to imagine growing up in West Michigan back then that there was no thought of ever coaching professional basketball in Grand Rapids, and now you're here kind of full circle. What's it like to kind of be back around town, and do you find yourself going to some of the, you know, same places that you went when you were growing up and all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, it's kind of odd because I hadn't been home except like maybe 4 or 5 days in about 20 years, Matt. I came back from my 20th reunion 10 years ago and spent a few days in town then, and outside of that had not been back to Grand Rapids basically since college. And you know, just so busy with my career, and during in college you're playing over Thanksgiving, you're playing over Christmas break, so just never had an opportunity to get back. And my parents would come see me, but I just didn't get a chance. So when I moved back a couple years ago, I was scouting for the Raptors my second year out. My first year I was with the staff as an assistant when we won the G League championship, but I could not believe the growth of the city, and there isn't too much really the same. I mean, you go back to some of the spots, but where there was something before, it's now something different. The one thing I did kind of cool this summer, we used to play ball at this park called Martin Luther King Park right downtown, and you know, play on Sunday nights was a big night in high school and college. And so I went over there and played on a Sunday night here. I'm at 48-49 now, and tried to hoop for about an hour. But just the fact to go back there and reminisce, and obviously no one knew who I was. I just got a few games in and called it a day. But that's about the only place I've been where it was definitely still the same as when I was a high school guy. Everything else is dramatically different.
That's awesome. Well, I hope you showed the youngsters a thing or two on the court there at Martin Luther King.
No, trust me. The only way I was getting a game is if I had next, Matt, because they weren't picking me up. I had to get my own game and pick my team. Trust me.
Yeah, I can relate to you there completely, Coach. But this week, actually, Sports Business Journal named Grand Rapids as the best minor league town in America. And, of course, Michigan sports fans know all about the Grand Rapids Griffins and the West Michigan Whitecaps and the Grand Rapids Drive now as well. What do you think about Grand Rapids as a sports town? Do you think that's a pretty accurate representation of the way they support their teams over there?
I do, and obviously I don't know a whole lot about minor league sports, but I just know that, you know, when you go to a Whitecaps game, it seems always to have a great crowd. I know the hockey program or team is always making a run in the playoffs, it seems like, and I know we get tremendous support here with the Drive, and I think a lot of that starts with your ownership group. You know, Steve and Sarah Jabbar are fantastic. They spend a lot of time in this community, letting themselves be visible and doing different things for charities and people in the community. I think that goes a long ways. And then you add a guy like Ben Wallace a year or two ago to the, you know, as a minority owner, and that brings some prestige and publicity to the organization as well. So I'm not surprised. I guess I just don't know enough about it to compare it. I just know that in this city, people rally behind their teams and really support it. I know we had great support last year, and hopefully it'll be even better this season. But that is quite an honor for the city. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and Donnie, you spent a number of years at the college level and then moved on to the G League after that. It's been about 3 or 4 years, like you mentioned, with the Toronto organization before coming over to Grand Rapids. Just in your kind of few-year span with the G League, what have you kind of seen from growth from this league and the direction that it's kind of headed in the future?
Well, I had buddies that played in the old CBA, you know, growing up, and then some former players that I coached played in the D League when it was, 10, 12 years ago, still kind of finding its way. And then, you know, when I got involved 2 or 3 years ago, all I heard was just that the growth and the commitment from the NBA franchises to their affiliate teams has just grown incredibly at an incredible rate, because they understand the importance and the value of having a good G League program. And I think, you know, a perfect example of that is Coach Casey and the Toronto organization really wanted to do it the right way. And we had a couple guys with Coach Stackhouse. First of all, they hired a fantastic coach in Jerry Stackhouse. He's a hell of a coach now, a great coach. And then, you know, you send guys down to be developed and improve, guys like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam led us to the championship a few years ago. And then 3 years later, Matt, they happened to help the big team to the world championship in the NBA. So I think people that really know basketball, and Coach Casey knows it as well as anybody, understand the importance of developing some of these young guys, getting them an opportunity to get some major minutes and flourish and gain some confidence and develop and grow. And he's trying to do the same thing here in Grand Rapids. And I hope we can kind of do the same thing in developing some young guys like we did. But top to bottom, I think the NBA now understands how good and how important this league can be for their organization. And so, like anything, they sink more money into it, Matt, so the facilities become better. The travel becomes better. Now you're able to maybe lure a better player away from a European contract to come in the States and try to chase their dream a little bit. The pay is continuing to improve. So all those things are vital in helping any, league or conference or whatever it may be grow and develop. And I think the NBA ownership and those people have made a strong commitment, and you can tell the way TV now is part of the package. It's just continuing to blossom.
And you mentioned Dwayne Casey and your time with the Raptors 905, kind of the ultimate success story of the G League team and Stackhouse becoming an NBA assistant himself after that. And the championships won by the G League team and now the NBA team with some of those players on it. And then Coach Casey comes over to the Pistons last year and you come over with him to the organization as well. What is it about, you know, you and Coach Casey that has kind of clicked over time? How do you kind of align with him in things that you want to accomplish with your programs?
Well, you know, Coach Casey's a Kentucky guy, and I went to Morehead State, as we just talked about, in Kentucky, and I played there and then went back and coached there for 6 years. So I spent 9 or 10 years. I was at a junior college as a head coach, St. Catherine College, for a year. So I spent 10 years in the state of Kentucky, and really it became like my second home. I have so many close friends in Kentucky, and one of my best friends, Wayne Martin's, a former coach at Kentucky, and he's like a second dad to me. And Coach Martin grew up in the coaching business with Coach Casey. You know, when Coach Casey was at Kentucky as an assistant, Coach Martin was the head coach at Morehead, and they'd hang out at games and just became friends. And when my situation happened at Tennessee, Coach Martin reached out to Coach Casey for me and said, hey, this guy's going through some things like you went through, because Coach had some NCAA issues when he was at Kentucky and was treated unfairly, ended up getting cleared of all that in due time, but it took him a long time to do that. But anyways, we connected, and he invited me to Summer League. That's where I had an opportunity to get to know Coach Stackhouse a little better. We were together on the Summer League coaching staff. And then when I was in Toronto, you know, Coach would have us to practice. He'd check in on me and just basically help me get that job. And then I was scouting the next year for the Raptors living in Grand Rapids. My real dad was dying of cancer at the time. And put me closer to home, closer to my mom and dad, as I was still kind of getting over the hump through the whole Tennessee situation. And then when Coach came here, he called and we had a great conversation. He said, "Hey man, I'd love to get you back in the gym. Why don't you come help our G League team?" And did that last year as an assistant, and we had a nice year. And then this year I was fortunate enough to be named the head coach, and it all goes back to Coach Casey. Without him, I probably never even get started in the G League. So I'm very indebted to him. He's a great man. He's a good Christian man. He's a family man. And I think, you know, anybody would speak to what type of basketball coach he is in this league. They all know and understand that. And, you know, he's NBA Coach of the Year 2 years ago. And I can say this because I kind of saw both teams. He did a better job coaching the Pistons probably than he did the year before, just getting the Pistons to the playoffs. So he's an incredible coach. He's an even better person. And, you know, I'm certainly indebted to him for the opportunities that he's given to me.
Hey, Matt. It's Brandon from Sterling Heights. I have a question that I've actually been wondering about that you could ask at Media Day. Maybe to a player like Derrick Rose or Blake Griffin or Reggie Jackson. My question is, what impact do the players believe Arnie Kander has on their health? I know Arnie has the reputation in the league of being some sort of miracle worker, the magic wand, but I want to see a player's perspective on Arnie Kander. So, yeah, let me know if that's a good question. Thanks.
A great question from Brandon. We really appreciate the call there. And yeah, maybe I will ask about them. Is Arnie Kander in the front of their minds? Maybe that was part of what Arn Tellem did to sell those guys to come here. Obviously, Derrick Rose, more of a sell job than you would think of Joe Johnson as far as the options that they had out there. Although we know Joe Johnson was going to work out for some other teams with the NBA too. So is the word of Arnie Kander around the NBA, especially with that generation of players in their 30s? We know that Arnie Kander, starting with the Bad Boys, moving on to the going-to-work era, renowned, and players around the league really became to appreciate him. But then since he left the Pistons for that period and wasn't around, do those guys in their, you know, late 30s like Joe Johnson, early 30s like Derrick Rose, and into younger types of generations, do they still believe in the gospel of Arnie Kander? Is he still someone who carries that kind of weight around the NBA like we know he did, you know, 15, even to 20, 25 years ago at that time? So, Brandon, thanks for that call. If you have a question that you want me to ask at Media Day, that's a good one, and I will ask that to at least one of those guys if they're put up on the podium. Give us a call on the Google voicemail line, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. What do you want me to ask on Monday at Media Day for the Detroit Pistons, as it's right around the corner? Media Day, training camp, Michigan State University, preseason games, and the season right around the corner. I'm excited, and I hope you guys are too. But that's going to do it for our show today. We'll have another one tomorrow with part two of our interview with Donnie Tindall, who was gracious enough to join us. We really appreciate him for doing that. But once again, this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked on Pistons podcast, saying spread the word about the show. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.